Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inside Athletic Podcast. He's Ryan Macchignana, president of Peña Athletic Club, California, and I'm James Echegori of Inside Athletic. And today, Ryan, once again, we are talking about an athletic win, a third straight win for the Lions.
Not only that, James, five in a row unbeaten, and I have to say, this was the type of game that they needed a win, especially because just putting those points in the bank, heading forward into what will be a really tough December. Welcome to have all 3 points for the Lions.
Well, let's start, as we always do, before the game itself. Garitano not changing up the lineup whatsoever. The same 11 that started against Osasuna start against Granada at San Mamés. Did you have any problems with the selection?
No, not at all. I mean, you gotta go with the hot hands, and Sunset being pushed into central attacking midfield once again out of necessity. You've always got to monitor where Raul Garcia is in terms of both his health and his yellow card situation, which we're obviously going to get into later in the podcast. But, you know, once again, Garitano with the starting 11, and that I felt was the strongest that they had going forward. How about you?
I would have been surprised if there were any changes at all, because right now this is your best 11 with Iker Muniain injured and Aritz Aduriz injured as well. There's not another player I think makes that lineup better at the moment. You could argue that bringing in someone like Bignat for Sunset or something along those lines, dropping Raul Garcia back into the midfield would make sense. And I'll say that Sunset did not have as good of a game as he did against Osasuna, but right now, this is the team that you have to go with based on who's available, and I think that the Lions knew what type of game this was going to be, and that's what Garitano said after the match. We expected a physical game with a lot of fouls, a lot of duels, a lot of challenges, and a lot of set pieces, and that's exactly what we had today. Two physical teams going at it. But Ryan, before we talk about the goals and the outcome of the game and individual players who did and did not do well, I have to hand it to Granada. I've only seen them play a couple of times this year, and every time I've been impressed. They definitely look like a team that, although they just earned promotion, they really don't look like they're going to be a team that has to deal with the relegation battle this year. I thought they played well and really pushed Athletic at San Mamés.
Oh, yeah, definitely defensively, right? I mean, I felt like, although I think Athletic's midfield was the key to winning this game, it wasn't any stretch of the imagination where Granada was dominated out there. I mean, I guess the one thing you could say Athletic outpossessed, I mean, I felt like they had the ball maybe 60-65% of the time. But in terms of Athletic having the same wide open windows to create chances and pass through balls as they did last week, those were few and far between this time. I mean, Athletic had to earn both of those goals. I guess it depends on your definition of earn on the first one, but definitely that second one came within the flow of play, and it required a perfect pass from Unai Lopez to seal this game. So they were in it, the visitors, for the first 80 minutes of this game, and you've got to give them credit. They're very disciplined. They're never really caught out of position, especially the back line. And while they didn't really do much offensively, they pushed Athletic in the sense of making the Lions solve the problem, right? They gave them a puzzle to kind of decipher and challenge them to break.
Once again, I was impressed with Granada. Of course, I do think Athletic were the better team, but Granada weren't afraid to press, and I think that did make things difficult for Athletic. But being the better side, in my opinion, they were able to work through it. They were able to beat the press when they needed to and counterattack when they could, and they took their chances well. They created chances going forward, although it definitely was not easy, as you just pointed out. They made them work for it, and as we've said multiple times, good teams find ways to win games, and this match could have very easily ended in a draw. It could have easily ended scoreless, and because it did not end scoreless, let's talk about that first goal to begin with before the penalties, and we'll get into all of that. I know there was some beef on Twitter talking about it, but It was a weird play because Athletic put the ball into the box from a corner. Yuri Berchiche just tried a screamer from outside the box, or I think it was maybe a little bit inside the box. It fell to Inigo Martinez. He tried to shoot it. The ball bounced up, and the goalkeeper had it in his hands. And the goalkeeper was taking a couple of steps forward to release the ball. And out the corner of your eye, you see Duarte just shove Raul Garcia to the ground, and the referee came back and called a penalty there, because even though it was away from the play, it was still a player in the box that got shoved down. Ryan, I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like that, and from a Granada point of view, you have to say that's just a dumb play to give away a penalty like that.
You know, the only thing that comes to mind, James, was that Barcelona versus Athletic Supercopa 2015, first leg in San Mamés, when Athletic were up 3-0, and was it off of a set piece? I just remember, a ball was being crossed into the box, and inexplicably, Dani Alves, who, if you actually look at that game, was kind of responsible for the second, third, and fourth goals, jumped on. He kind of got caught in terms of a momentum game where the back line was going one way and the attackers were going the other way. And I believe it was a set piece. And he jumped on Xavi Aceta's back. And luckily, the referee, Fernandez, did an excellent job and saw that play happening. And so even though it seemed like a harmless cross that Ter Stegen was able to collect, what you didn't see if you weren't paying attention to the entire area around the box was Dani Alves climbing Aceta's back, which Athletic were able to take advantage of, and Aduriz finishing off his historic hat trick in that game from the spot. In this case, it was a little bit different, right? Yeah, as you said, it was kind of I have to hand it to Raul Garcia, right? The ultimate veteran, the type of guy you would absolutely hate if he was not on your team. But because he wears the red and white, we're big fans. And I think that was just a veteran's move where he saw the shove coming because of the contact. And I'm sure he's been in thousands and thousands of battles like that, aerials, set pieces, crosses, over the course of his long, illustrious career, to where he probably had a good sense that to anticipate that a shove was coming, just based on his experience in these types of matters. And that was important, because the fact that he knew the shove was coming, I think, allowed him to kind of sell the shove in a way that looked a lot harder than it was. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the push came, and yes, he pushed him, but I don't think it was the type of push that would have leveled Raul Garcia to the point where he was falling over like, watching the Zapruder film or anything like that. He literally, it was just a run-of-the-mill shove, but it was to the point where if you time it correctly and you know it's coming, you can flop. And I hate to use that word, but let's face it. I think while it was definitely a foul, the fact that he was able to sell it and see it coming ahead of in advance allowed him to kind of use the momentum to make the impact look a lot harder, a lot more physical and intentional than it was. And luckily, James, it resulted into getting another opportunity from spot.
Rulo definitely had to earn that penalty for sure. He had a interesting start to the game. Twice he had the ball played to him in the box. The first one was across from Yuri. That was a difficult one to deal with. It was bouncing up in front of him. There wasn't much space. All he could really do was try to swing at it, which is what he did. Didn't catch it cleanly. But the other one was another ball into the box as he was running in late. And it's a shot, an opportunity that we've seen him score time and time again, and this time he just flubs it. It just bounces to the goalkeeper, and you're thinking, is he still feeling some of the groin issues that he was dealing with against Osasuna? Is he not 100% because his shooting, his timing, they just looked off? We know that he only trained 2 days during the week leading up to this game and just did not look quite himself, and then here comes the penalty. He steps up. and Rui Silva saves it, diving to his right, getting it at the corner. The penalty was saved, and we're about to play on, but then VAR immediately comes in and shows that Rui Silva left his line both feet off of the goal line before the shot is taken, and that is against the rules and means that Raul Garcia gets another opportunity. And I kind of like the statement that Rula made with that second penalty attempt. There was no games, no mind games, no tricks, nothing fancy. He just smashed it into the top left corner as if to say, okay, save this one. And Rui Silva does not even move. He just watches over his right shoulder as that ball tickles the net. Really good penalty take there from Raul Garcia. I think a little bit of frustration. He just wanted to put it in and be over with these missed chances that he's had. But Ryan, there was a lot of talk during the game, during halftime, even after the game, about that VAR decision to come in and give a penalty back to Athletic, even though the first one was saved because Rui Silva's feet were off the line. I understand how a lot of people feel about this. I would say that I personally don't have a problem because a rule was broken and you can clearly see that both feet are off the line. You can see the grass in between the heels. I guess if you want to say there is an issue, it's that that's not given all the time and not caught all the time. But by letter of the law, this is what VAR is there for, to make sure that the rules are enforced. And in this situation, Rui Silva caused Athletic to take another penalty, and I think it was deserved.
Well, a couple things, yeah. I think it's one thing where last week, if we want to recall how VAR kind of gave Athletic the short end of the stick, where it was really inconclusive, much less impossible to determine how exactly Raul Garcia was offside last week, just because, I mean, if you saw the graphic, for those who didn't see, it was a straight line in terms of the offside line. There was nothing that showed that even an arm was, like, over the line. And in that sense, I felt that was obscenely incorrect. Whereas here, you have the case where it's clear where the keeper, where Rui Silva had both his feet outside the line. I mean, this was, like, totally inconclusive. This wasn't like last week where, you know, is it a fingernail? Is it an elbow? You know, if I like tilt my head 36 degrees, will it look offside? I mean, no matter where you look at it from the letter, if you're looking at it based on the letter of the law, it was, he had definitely left his line prematurely. So, you know, take it for what it was, but, and I don't care if it sounds like, oh, you're biased because, you know, you're an Athletic fan. But, I mean, I don't think it's deniable that last week both feet were on the line, equidistant with the defender. And this week you had a keeper who had both feet over off his line. It wasn't inconclusive. It was conclusive.
I understand the frustration with the moments where it's not clear and obvious, no matter how you look at it. When you have to put down imaginary lines to determine if it's onside or not, that's where I definitely agree with the current, I guess, negativity surrounding VAR, is that those aren't conclusive if you have to do that. But in this one situation, when you can clearly see grass between the goal line and the player's heels, to me, that's just clear. And one person who, you can go on Twitter and find it if you want to, I'm not going to name names, but he said, if you have to go back and pause the play and freeze the frame, if you will, to see that, then it's not clear and obvious. And my response to that would be, isn't that what review is for? To go back and see this? Because human eyes can only catch something so quickly. I don't like or agree with the statement that if you have to freeze it, then it's not clear and obvious. That's what review is. But in this situation, I'm not trying to be biased, and I think that both of us do a pretty decent job of trying our hardest to be unbiased, and we've definitely given Athletic shtick when they've deserved it and said when they've gotten lucky, just like Raul Garcia sold that shove to get the penalty there. We'll admit that, but in this situation, I think that was entirely clear, and Raul Garcia was able to get that penalty, and Athletic were leading. And Ryan, would you say that Athletic were deservedly ahead at halftime? You think that they deserve to have the lead at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I felt so. Aside from that early scary moment when Keeney was in the box and that ball, I think it was another set. It was either a set piece or was it a cross that Unai Lopez mishandled. That's one of the big concerns that we've had for Unai coming up through the did I say Unai Lopez? I meant Unai Simon. Through the system was his tendency sometimes to give up that second ball and not being able to catch those aerials. The ball bounced off his hands and looked like he was pretty much serving a sitter on a silver platter for Keeney. However, he, in his presence of mind, was able to just get a little tap on it and push it forward to allow to kind of bat the ball, not necessarily out of harm's way, but at an angle where Keeney wasn't expecting it and off the rebound, and he had to hit the ball in a spot where he wasn't expecting it, sailed over the bar. Outside of that play, I thought Athletic were the better side, and this penalty, whether or not you felt it should have been a penalty, if we're going by the letter of the law again, I mean, he pushed him in the box. Going by the letter of the law again, looking at the bar on the initial penalty kick, yes, I think Athletic deserved to be ahead 1-0, although you could make an argument that it should have been even after 45. However, I felt like as the game progressed, and we're going to talk about it, Athletic were the deserving side just because I felt like they were just a cut above.
Unai Simon again having to make a big save, although this time he wouldn't have been saving the team. He would have been saving himself. And as you say, we've pointed this out a couple of times over the years. His weakness is just 100% claiming those crosses. And it was a set piece that I think it was supposed to be a cross, but it ended up being a shot because it was directly to Simon. But it was at a difficult angle, but certainly catchable, or at least one that he could have punched out. I think it kind of surprised him, and that's why he knocked it down. So as potentially dangerous as that moment was, the resulting save where he pushed it away so that it wouldn't be a goal was even more impressive. So good job from him for being able to make up for a mistake there. That's something that a lot of goalkeepers don't do, is when they make a mistake, it's been made, it's too late. But he had the wherewithal and the presence of mind to do that. And just reaching out your hand like that while he was on the ground, I mean, he jumped forward and pushed it away. You're risking a kick in the face, a ball being shot off your face, a kick in the ribs. That's a dangerous play there for a goalkeeper, and he wasn't afraid to make it and saved his own mistake that he had made. And I think you're right. That's the only real danger that Granada created in that first half. You know, a couple of half chances here and there, but nothing where Unai Simon was tested and had to make a ridiculous save. And so I think Athletic did deserve to be up. And then we get into the second half, and it's you have a yellow card, you have a yellow card, everybody have a yellow card, because I think the referee realized that he did not control the game enough in the first half. We saw Yuri jawing, Raul Garcia having some words, Danny Garcia having some words, and so out came the yellow cards, and the game became a lot more physical, a lot more set pieces, a lot more fouls. And Ryan, as we were talking off air, Athletic's midfield really started to take control of the game. I think that was the difference maker. And who other than Unai Lopez, who I believe put in his best performance in an Athletic shirt in this really big game?
Absolutely. I thought he was the player of the game, James. And even before the game-sealing assist, he was everywhere on both sides of the ball. I think that both of us have kind of harped on his lack of completeness on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive end and on the pressure. And he was what we were hoping to see these past few years. He was in several challenges, a lot of 50-50 balls that even got into a couple aerials. And then just offensively, I think he helped control the pace. He's what you want out of a linking midfielder in terms of just the definition of the word. I mean, Danny Garcia found him often as an outlet, and Unai Lopez was able to look ahead and find whether it was Raul Garcia or Williams or even an overlapping Yuri Berchiche. You know, he really showed the type of confident playmaking that we've been really hoping to see out of him the past few years. And although, you know, the chances were few and far between, it was against an opponent that really wasn't allowing much. So, you know, I'll let you get into the actual breakdown of the goal. But, yeah, I have to say, maybe it's the whole Javi Martinez talk. Maybe that's what's getting him really to step up his game another notch. But he looked great out there and couldn't have come at a better time.
We definitely have talked a lot about him needing to play a more complete game. And I'll be honest, early in that second half, I caught myself thinking, Unai Lopez is really starting to look like Bignat tonight. he was playing a very Bignat-esque type of game. The pulling the strings from deep, the dropping back to get the ball, but also the pushing forward and finding some good avenues there. And just looking at his stats, it was a really impressive performance. Three key passes. He won two dribbles. He won three tackles, which is something we don't see a lot from him. Two interceptions, two aerials, one. He blocked a shot. And for his passing, he completed 95.5% of his passes. He had 92 touches in the game and was 3 for 5 on long balls and had 9 crosses. Other than scoring a goal, he did absolutely everything. And if Unai Lopez can do this on a consistent basis, Athletic have another really big weapon that's going to help this team out, because this is what Athletic need from him. And he's shown now that he can do it against, albeit a newly promoted club, but a very strong Granada side. He put in a very good showing at San Mamés, and I think it's definitely his best performance for the first team ever at this point. But the goal, we'll talk about that. I know that a lot of people have questioned whether or not that was an intentional cross, and I honestly could not tell for sure when the play was made, but I went back and rewound it a couple of times, talked to a couple people on Twitter who didn't know which way it was, and so I said, you know, I need to go back and look at this play and try to figure out what it was. And the more I watch that play, the more certain I am that right before he puts that ball in, he looks, you can see his head tilt to the left, and he saw Yuri running. Now, whether or not he meant to put that ball where he did or if he meant it to be in the air, you never know what a player means to do. But the more I watch that play, the more certain I am that he was playing the ball to Yuri and hoping that it would get to where he could score. And so, to me, that was just a sublime pass. I don't know if you want to call it a cross or a low-driven through ball, but puts it right to where only Yuri can get it. Goalkeeper probably could have came out and tried to claim it, but he stays on his line. Yuri rushes in, slides in, puts the ball in the back of the net. And even after the game, Yuri said, I don't score a lot of goals, so I was very excited. But all the credit goes to the ball that Unai Lopez played me. Ryan, just like this was his best performance, I think that's the best pass I have ever seen from Unai Lopez at this level of football.
Without a doubt. You have to give him credit. Whether or not you felt it was crossed, I felt it was clearly targeting Yuri in terms of trying to lead him out with a very flattened Granada line. 2-3 guys around him. I think the only person that really could have gotten to that ball, like you said, was the keeper, was Rui Silva. And he chose to stay on his line to his detriment. The ball was exactly where it needed to be. Just imagine having to bend it like a banana. A low type of pass that curled, had a little bit of curl like around those three defenders, but to the point where it was able to hit a streaking Yuri on the left wing in stride, and the finish was what you were hoping to see out of a guy like Yuri, who hasn't been able to score many goals with Athletic as much as he did at PSG. But yeah, I mean, a world-class finish as well. So much credit to Unai Lopez. That was definitely the best pass of his career. And who knows, maybe it has unlocked the type of consistent performances that we've been hoping to see, especially because we've got this big stretch coming up where Athletic will be heading into the holiday break either in the top 4 or in the top 7. And, you know, I think it without the specter of possibly bringing Javi Martinez back into the fold, into that midfield where he, I'm going to guess, would take Unai Lopez's starting spot. I don't know if it means that he's feeling the pressure or if it means that he's kind of accepting this challenge with both arms and playing the way that we hope we can, that we've all hoped we can, that he could play these past few years.
Well, I'll say this. That second goal needed to come. I felt that if Athletic did not score a second goal, that they were in danger of allowing Granada to just continue to push forward and eventually get an equalizer. I had a little bit of fear that that could happen because we've seen it happen. But Athletic get the goal that they need, and at the same time, while we can talk about this being a hard-fought performance, I've seen a lot of people say that this was not a good performance. Athletic played badly, but hey, they got the win. I disagree with that. I think Athletic played well. You also have to take into consideration the team that they're playing against. Granada are also trying to win this game. They had gone, I think it was 4 straight games without a win going into this, and so they were really pushing for a result or at least a draw. And so Athletic had to counteract that. A hard-pressing team who have played well this year, Athletic got pushed and they answered. And I know that second half wasn't beautiful football, but I think what Athletic were doing there, and I would praise them for it, but I think that they were managing the game, and they managed it well. And we've talked in length about all the recent coaches Athletic have had and the questionable substitutions that they've made. But today, and I think more often than not this year it has been the case, Gaisser Garitano made 3 more good substitutions. He brings on Ibai Gomez for Inigo Cordoba, who was getting a little tired out there. You could see him winded. And a side note here, Inigo Cordoba had a very good game, maybe his best of the season, and he came off to applause from San Mamés, which was very good to see. But Ibai Gomez played a big role. Inigo Lecue comes in for Sanset, which I thought that was another good sub because Sanset was starting to lose his pace. He was getting tired out there, and you could see that Granada's physicality was starting to bother him. So Raul Garcia drops back into midfield. You keep Iñaki up top to use his pace, and Inigo Lecue is able to use his work rate, which is very similar to Cordoba, on the right wing. And then Garitano brings in his closer, Mikel San Jose, to add that physicality and close the game out there. Another good substitution, in my point of view. All three played important roles in getting this victory, and here we are with Garitano making some more good decisions, some more good substitutions, has his team prepared for the game, and Athletic now have gone 5 games without a defeat and have 3 straight wins. Ryan, what did you make of Garitano's overall decision-making against Granada?
Well, they won in shutout fashion, so I think it would be pretty hard to criticize the mister in this case. I think the substitutions were on point. Like you said, Mikel San Jose coming on, they needed that extra element of physicality with Raul Garcia leaving the last 10 minutes. And that was one of the few negatives of this game. And we'll get into that a little bit later in terms of Raul Garcia getting that dreaded yellow card that we were hoping he'd avoid. But I think also with Cordoba, yet another underrated game, it typifies the Garitano style of play. And so, you know, I think we're seeing the fans, and Athletic fans are always restless, and you'll always have a faction of fans who aren't pleased with the team, even in the midst of a 5-game unbeaten streak where they've risen to technically 4th in the league, where you have people saying, well, why isn't Ibai Gomez playing? I mean, Cordoba clearly isn't scoring, but it's not necessarily about that. I feel like Cordoba, as we said last week, just offers so much on the pitch in terms of his ability defensively with his speed to keep the pressure on teams. And on offense, he's kind of more used as a distributor than he is an outright scorer, because we know that his limitations definitely extend to his goal scoring abilities and touch around the inside the box. However, I think in that case, Ibai coming in is the right sub, but I feel like for him to be able to unseat Cordoba at this point, it would literally take him in my opinion, I don't know what you think, James. He'd have to score, but he'd have to come in multiple games off the bench and just score goal after goal after goal to put the onus on Garitano to put him in the game. Because look at the way Athletic wins. Look at the way Garitano's won all these games. It's really a style that is reliant so much on precision on both ends of the field, because the discipline, it's how can I explain it? It's not quite pure discipline that Athletic play with when the other team, when they're on in their own attacking end and they're trying to force turnovers, right? I mean, you'll see guys take risks, especially the front three. I'd say the discipline more applies to the back seven, especially the back five, in terms of keeping their shape throughout. And the reason why I bring that up is that this is not a Quique Setién type team that's going to win games 5-3 or 4-2, you know, or even a Marcelo Bielsa a team like that, in terms of this free-flowing, you know, offensive machine, right? I mean, this is an Athletic that's really built around the defense and taking advantage of goals in a very traditional Athletic way, set pieces, counterattacks, off pressure, and just opportunism, being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, if the opportunity flows for, allows for, you know, a pretty team goal now and again, yes, it'll come. But this is a team that wins games, you know, 2-0, 2-1, 1-0. Very rare do you see a three-goal game out of Athletic. And if it's in a win, it's definitely probably a 3-2 game. I'd love to see the stats to see how many times the Garitano team has scored four goals or more in the Athletic as head coach of Athletic in this era. I don't even remember how many times they've scored four goals. Maybe once or twice tops. That being said, I think the type of style they play, Cordoba fits that style, especially on the defensive end, and because it's working, it's one of those things where, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And until Athletic are mired in another lengthy losing streak, and or you see Ibai Gomez coming off the bench multiple times and just going on a hot streak, I really find, unfortunately, I'm hard-pressed for Garitano to put him in the game. In San Jose, solid once again, as I just said a few minutes ago, I think the specter of Javi Martinez, it's lifting everybody's game, but at the same time, if he arrives in the winter, and right now, if I'm a betting man, I still think he will come. At this point, you've got to wonder where the minutes are going to be for Mikel San Jose, much less Ruben Lopez. But yeah, I mean, much props to Garitano. Well done, all three subs once again. I mean, how can you complain after a 2-0 win?
Well, the way I look at it, and I think you summed it up pretty well there, Ibai Gomez is not going to start games unless he becomes a heavy contributor in the attack. He's not scoring goals, and he's been good from set pieces, but he's not scoring goals. He's not creating a ton of chances. And if you want to look at Garitano's system, the style of play that he's put at Athletic, that he's built at Athletic, it's defense first. He said it, the players have said it, we defend first, and then from there, we build our attack. I've had a lot of people tell me, and I've seen a lot of people say that, yes, Cordoba has great work rate, and yes, he defends well, but if he's not going to offer anything in attack, then he doesn't need to be on the field. Well, when your other alternative is Ibai Gomez, who, let's be honest, is a liability defensively, Cordoba's going to get the minutes. And this is not a situation of a rotation. Inigo Cordoba is the starting left wing player. He is. He's not in competition with Ibai Gomez at this point, and it's up to Gomez to change that, because no matter what you may think about Inigo Cordoba, Garitano really likes him. He likes that he contributes defensively. He likes that he always tracks back. And when he's able to offer something going forward, that's a bonus. But his first job is to defend. And again, some people have said, well, that's not what a winger is. Well, it is in Garitano's system. That is their job first and foremost. And you saw it today with Iñaki Williams, how often he tracked back, how often he ran back and was involved in the defensive aspect of things. And Córdoba, this is something that it's easy to miss when you watch a game the first time, but when you go back and look at it, or if you're looking away from the ball and not just watching the ball, you'll see these things. Córdoba is constantly running back and cutting off passing lanes where if I were a, say, Granada fan today, I'm thinking we're going to create a chance from this. And then Córdoba runs through the passing lane, slows you down, you have to play the ball back. He does that regularly. And even today, he got involved with the offense. He had that shot in the box, which surprised the goalkeeper, although he was able to make the save. Córdoba did not give the ball away, and I think he's had two really good performances back-to-back. If you're looking at these two players, Córdoba and Ibai Gomez, just comparing them as players, I don't think anyone would say that Córdoba is a better player than Ibai Gomez. I think Ibai is a better player. But, Ryan, I'm interested if you agree with this. Córdoba is a better fit for the system than Ibai Gomez is, and that's why he's getting the minutes, and that's why he's in the starting lineup.
I think the better fit, yeah, for all the reasons that you mentioned, especially defensively. I don't know if I would classify Ibai Gomez as a defensive liability. I felt like there were moments, especially, you know, when he was playing under Valverde, where he had his moments where he would come run back and make some decent plays to stop the flow of play for the other team's attack. But I definitely feel in terms of this system, unless Ibai Gomez is able to, in a way, compensate for what he doesn't have defensively on the attacking end, kind of overcompensating in a way to kind of give Garitano an excuse to play him, even though Córdoba would be a better fit in that system. It would be really tough for him right now, and anything can change, you know. But right now, it's definitely Iñigo Córdoba's spot to lose. One thing I want to bring up, James, that you brought up Iñaki Williams, how much of a hard worker he is on both ends. And we saw, I'd say this week in addition to last week, he was heading balls out of the box, clearing balls, running back to help the midfielders on defense. And it was definitely needed in a game like this where scoring chances were going to be hard anyway, so he might as well run back and contribute that in. Did you notice Iñaki was playing on the left wing for several minutes, especially 65th and 70th minute, right around that time? There were definitely a few minutes where instead of being on the right wing, as we've seen in this unorthodox shift where Iñaki technically is the nine, but they've been playing him on the right wing, he was playing on the left wing as well.
Garitano does like to change the wings. You'll see the players rotate side to side, and sometimes it looks like it's just to get a better matchup, and sometimes it's just to change things that aren't working. And I like that he trusts his wingers to play on both sides, although he does prefer to have a right-footed player on the right and a left-footed player on the left. And before I get a lot of hate mail about Ibai Gomez, let me just make sure everybody hears me clearly here. I love Ibai Gomez. My dog is actually named Ibai because Ibai has been one of my favorite players for several years, dating back to when he first broke into the team when he joined Athletic. So, big admirer of Ibai Gomez. He has to be better defensively to be able to get more minutes in Garitano's system. But here we are after 15 games into the league. Athletic sit fourth in the La Liga table. Yes, they are level on points with Real Sociedad, but at this point of the season, goal difference is the indicator of who will win the tiebreaker. Both of them are +8, but Athletic do have the head-to-head. And at the end of the season, it's the head-to-head that decides it. So Athletic are in fourth place right now. They have won 3 games in a row, 5 undefeated. And interestingly, not a lot of people would have guessed this because of the other big teams that we have in the league, but Athletic have the best record in home games this year in La Liga. 6 wins, 1 draw, 1 defeat. That's better than any other club at home this year. But Athletic will not be at San Mamés next Sunday when they take on Real Betis. They will be at the Benito Villamarín trying to win their second game on the road this year, the first being last week against Osasuna. That was their first win away from home. So Athletic have momentum to build on, but Ryan, this isn't going to be an easy game, and when you consider that Iker Muniain is still out, Arizadores is still out, and Raul Garcia is suspended for the game after picking up his fifth yellow card of the season. He was really ticked off coming off the field when he got subbed because he knew that was a dumb foul. He knew that was an unnecessary yellow to pick up. He's going to miss the match. Gaisca Garitano is going to have some big decisions to make and some switching the team up to do if Athletic are going to get 3 points on the road against Real Betis. That's going to be a difficult game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is why we said this last week and said this week that this game was so important. Being at home against a team that on paper you should beat, that putting those 3 points in the bank really gives you a little bit of wiggle room. I think Raul Garcia just plays that physical style where they were going to lose him eventually. I'd rather lose him for, well, to be honest, I would have rather lost him for the A-Bar derby that comes at home after this road game against Real Betis than next week. But still better than losing him for what will be, in my opinion, quite a death march, so to speak, where I believe in the course of 10, 11 days, they're going to be playing Intercity on the road in the Copa, then to Real Madrid in the Bernabeu on the road, then on the road to Sevilla at the Sanchez Pizjuan. The Intercity game aside, where I imagine that's like we'll be playing a lot of reserves, that Real Madrid-Sevilla stretch will be, I'm going to guess, the type of stretch where Athletic could really give themselves the type of cushion that they need to stay competitive for the top four Champions League race. Because I don't want to look too far ahead, but if you win these two games here, and I, even on the road without Raul Garcia, makes it really tough, but winning on the road against Real Betis and winning at home, which against Eibar, which has become kind of taken for granted the past few years because they've just been they've just had the Armeros number at home. But you know, you win those two games, you've got 6 points in the bank heading into the Bernabeu and the Sanchez Pizjuan, two direct rivals for Champions League spots. You have so much wiggle room to the point where any type of points you can get out of that two-game stretch puts you in a very good position heading into the holidays, because right now, if we're going to take it as a given where Real Madrid and Barcelona, once again, and even Atletico Madrid, even though they're in sixth right now, you imagine, you have to wonder, I mean, I'm going to assume that they're going to be able to get it together under Cholo Simeone and rise back up the table. I mean, they've just had a few lucky draws or unfortunate draws, depending on which way the side, which way the coin, which side of the coin you're looking at. But eventually, their resources and quality will have them rise to the back to the top. Excuse me. So let's imagine that fourth place is the realistic battleground for Athletic over the next few months for the Champions League, or even fifth and sixth for the Europa League. Sevilla, which is playing out of their minds right now under Julen Lopetegui, are in second. They're showing no signs of slowing down. I believe they won seven in a row. Real Sociedad, they are also in top form with a very deep roster. Thanks a lot to the 32 million euros they got from Athletic in the Inigo Martinez deal, which looks like it turned out well for both sides. But those two teams alone, those two clubs alone, are going to make it a dogfight for fourth and fifth place for Athletic. Therefore, these two games coming up, I believe, are really important. If Athletic can escape the Benito Villamarin with a win, I think they're going to get all three at Eibar. We can really start talking Champions League, no matter what happens in these next two games in the Sanchez Pizjuan and in the Bernabeu, especially if Athletic can somehow grind out a few points from there. But it will be tough to do without Raul Garcia. I give you that, James. And I wonder
Hopefully with this rise in confidence in Unai Lopez and Oyan Sunset now having two games to start under his belt, and Mikel San Jose a more than capable substitute off the bench, that you know, those two along with Danny Garcia, you know, they'll be able to help weather the storm in midfield and possibly win a very laborious 3 points on the road.
That's a nice summation there of the difficulty that Athletic have coming up. Really tough games, and this is why Garitano has preached one game at a time. You won't hear the players talk about long-term goals. You won't hear them talk about games 3 matches from now. It's one game at a time because they know the difficulty, and you just have to focus on getting the 3 points that are in front of you. And Athletic are in fourth. It is a conversation that, although the players won't have it, the fans are, we are, pundits are, columnists are. They're talking about what Athletic can possibly achieve. And let's look at that Real Betis game real quick before we get out of here. No Iker Muniain, no Raul Garcia, no Aritz Aduriz. Garitano's got a big decision to make. And the way I look at it, Ryan, is that he can do one of two things. Either you just move Iñaki back to the striker position and then start someone like Ibai or Gaizkar Arrizabal, Oscar De Marcos, Inigo Lekue, someone like that at right wing, and just keep Sunset in the middle, and that be your only real change. The other thing he can do is keep Iñaki out on the right wing and start a Keenan Kodro, a Asier Villalibre, although I think Kodro would be the one to start there because he has started games in the Primera. He has the experience. I think he'd be the natural starter there. I don't know about you, but if it's me, I think I would rather prefer starting Keenan Kodro because we've seen this team play much better offensively when Iñaki's on the right. And if you have Iñaki back up top again, you have an Ibai or a Gaizkar Arrizabal, even an Oscar De Marcos. Those players are suppliers. They're not goal scorers. And so you'd have two wingers who are looking to cross the ball into Iñaki, who is a player that doesn't really thrive on aerial balls where he can get headers. That's not his forte. Albeit, I do think that Oyan Sunset has showed a particular proclivity for the balls over the top and the through balls to Iñaki. So maybe playing right behind Iñaki, Sunset would be able to do something nice there. But if it's me, I'd prefer to start a Keenan Kodro up top and let him get some of the service. We've seen him score goals. He has the experience, as I said, and then Iñaki can continue to do what he does on the right. That's really the big decision that we're looking at in this game. I think that had Raul Garcia not picked up that fifth yellow card, we're looking at the same exact 11 once again against Real Betis, but now a different decision has to be made. Ryan, out of those two selections there, or maybe you have a different idea, what do you think is the best decision? I won't call it the right decision because we don't know, but what do you think is the best decision for Garitano to make to replace Raul Garcia?
I agree. I think Kenan Kodro has earned the opportunity to start based on what he did in the friendly in Eibar and obviously in crunch time at El Sadar. And we've said this now, I'm two, maybe, what, 3 years, James? Iñaki Williams, he prefers to play that center forward position. He feels he's a true nine. And, you know, whatever makes him happy to keep him here, let's do it. But I think I've always felt that he's just so, so effective on the right wing because of his speed and his skills. I definitely think that putting him on the nine and being able to set up Kodro would make Athletic's offense, their attack, as lethal as possible, given the circumstances for next week. So yeah, I would definitely start Kodro. And although Sunset didn't have the best of games this week, again, these are the types of games that he needs. He needs minutes if he's going to be ready for. I mean, if you guys think the Benito Villamarin is going to be tough, Villamarin's going to be tough. Wait until we get to that death march stretch where they have to go to the Bernabeu and Sanchez Pizjuan. So ultimately, yeah, I mean, in terms of up front, I think you go with the same lineup, except this time you got to give Kodro a chance. He's earned it.
Do you feel like making a prediction?
Yeah, you know, maybe this is one where Athletic proved me wrong. But I think another game where they grind out a 1-1 draw on the road, although I do think they need these 3 points. I think that would really put them on a pedestal, on more solid, sound footing down the road. But let's go 1-1. How about you?
I think a draw is the most likely result, and based on what we've seen this year, would be the expected result. Athletic have only won one game on the road. Just to be different, I'm going to say a 1-0 win for Athletic, which would be a really big result. And I'll put it down to this team just having a lot of momentum, taking it one game at a time, and having that experience, if you want to call it, of getting that first win out of the way. They have a little bit more breathing room and not as much pressure playing on the road as they did game after game trying to get that first victory. So I'll say a 1-0 win with the one goal coming from a set piece. I think it could be that type of game because Real Betis aren't the best scoring team in the league. They've struggled at times going forward. But defensively, they do play with five at the back. That's going to limit someone like Iñaki being able to run through. And so it's probably going to take a cross or a corner or a set piece outside the box, something of that nature. So that's what I'll say. 1-0. Ryan's going 1-1, so you guys let us know why we are right, or more likely why we are wrong with our predictions, and let us know what your predictions are. But Ryan, as always, before we cut out, what's the update on the Peña? When's the next watch party happening?
It's going down December 14th, Saturday, Athletic at home versus A-Bar. We're going to be doing what we do at the Dubliner West Portal. That's 328 West Portal Avenue in San Francisco. We're going to have pinchos, usually a pincho potluck from our members. And I myself going to try to come correct with a couple of new dishes to see if the socios will like them. But not just me. I mean, our other members, they've always got some great stuff, whether it's chipirones, squid in its own ink, or just other pinchos. I mean, sometimes we even have Irish soda bread people bring in. I mean, it's just really a great time to sit around and eat and drink some calimochos from the bar, or beers, your choice, and celebrate what we do as a club. I think we are also working on a party the next week for the Real Madrid game on the 22nd. Which is a Sunday, and not a did I say that the party was on a Sunday? It's Saturday. It's on Saturday, December 14th at 9:30 a.m. And we're also working on a party the following Sunday, the 22nd of December, against Real Madrid. But that would not take place in San Francisco. Actually, we're planning on doing a dual party in Bakersfield and in Redondo Beach in Southern California, Los Angeles, at a Basque Kitchen. If you're interested in going to either event, please send us an email at athleticclubca@gmail.com, and we'd love to get you the particulars. We should be able to finalize that time this week if we are going to do parties in either of those sites. But for sure, we are definitely meeting Saturday, December 14th, 9:30 a.m., at the Dubliner West Portal in San Francisco, Athletic versus A-Bar, pinchos, calimochos, and I forgot to mention the raffle prizes. The club always just so generous and gave us a few things that we're going to raffle off as usual. Last thing I will say, if you are a member of our club and you're listening to this, of our Peña, if you're a socio, we will be having a free online raffle tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I will be raffling off a signed photo of Aritz Aduriz doing the bicycle kick against Barcelona that he autographed himself when we visited him in Lezama this week. So if you are a member, be on the lookout for that tomorrow, when we will be raffling off that piece of history to one of our lucky socios. And If you're not one of our socios, you're thinking, well, how the hell do I join? Well, it's not that hard at all. All you have to do is shoot us an email again at athleticclubca. That's athleticclubca@gmail.com. It's $25 lifetime. We're not like the other Peñas around the world that charge you an annual fee. It's a one-time $25 lifetime dues, and you even get your own athletic ID card, and it comes with a bunch of perks, mainly the ability to buy tickets that they set aside for the Peñas when you go to Bilbao to go to the San Mamés for games. And on top of that, it also makes you eligible for raffles like these. So don't miss that. If you come to the party on Saturday, we'll have other things to raffle for our members. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's going to be another great month. Finally, the league has given us a viable time to do some parties. So we'll hopefully get them in before the Christmas season.
Pinchos, calimochos, what else could you want? Be there if you can at the Double Northwest Portal to watch that game with Ryan and the rest of Peña Athletic Club California. And we'll be back to talk about the Real Betis game when it's over. Hopefully we'll be talking about another Athletic win. It's going to be a tough game, but you do not want to miss it. It is on Sunday, 2 p.m. Bilbao time at the Benito Villamarín, Athletic versus Real Betis. As always, thank you for joining us and listening to the Inside Athletic Podcast. This has been Ryan and James. Opa, Athletic!
Opa!